America.
Wake up, America!
Wake up, America. It's time for Michael Dean After Dark. I'm your host, Michael Dean, Freedom Fiend, and this is the Late Night Feisty Liberty Show. We have a rotating stable of interesting insomniac co-hosts. Plus, we leave the phone lines open. So if the hamster in your brain is keeping you up, please call in. This is Mr. Michael Dean, and it's Michael Dean After Dark, because it's after dark, and I'm Michael Dean. It's just that kind of evening here in Wyoming. The cats have been put to sleep. Well, not put to sleep, but the cats are sleeping. The antelopes are sleeping, and the hamster in my brain is awake. And my guest tonight, my guest co-host, is Chandler St. Pierre. Say hi, Chandler.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. You work 9 to 5. You took a nap and then got up to an alarm, to 3 alarms, and had me call you, actually.
Just to make sure.
Yep. And tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do and where people can find the things that you do.
Well, I have a fairly public presence on Facebook and Twitter. And I do a podcast occasionally with a few friends of mine. We have a website, flightofthebastards.com. And we do some of the tyranny stuff to keep people aware, but we also try to offer solutions and alternatives. Lately, we've been gearing more towards ignoring the state and that sort of thing, and just living life, you know. I think you've talked about it on your show a lot. People tend to get burned out when they complain about tyranny and the latest and greatest horrors that are going on in the world. It's good to know what's going on. You don't want to stick your head in the sand, but it's also good to talk about other things. You know, we like to talk about music. We like to talk about farming, hunting, all kinds of stuff. We're a well-rounded cast, so we all have unique perspectives and things we like. So,
yeah, I like that. I like, you know, I've actually had a couple people accuse me of sticking my head in the sand because I'm starting a libertarian podcast and radio show here that does not deal much with tyranny. They're like, you're ignoring the things that are happening. And I'm kind of like, that's kind of like saying if you ran a billboard company and there were Pepsi billboards everywhere, that if you put up a billboard for something else, you're not being true to the core of Pepsi. You know, I mean, there are so many outlets of liberty media, alternative media, that all they do is talk about the tyranny, that I think there's room for one more. You know, maybe when there weren't a lot of liberty casts and liberty radio shows, you really needed the ones that pointed out what the cops did today, what Obama did today, what the military-industrial complex is doing to you today. But I feel like there's so many of them. It's kind of like, you know, when there were only 3 channels on TV, you know, at least one of them had to give the news, or what they called the news. And now that there's, you know, thousands of channels or hundreds on most people's TV network, you know, on their cable package, you can have 6 channels that just do golf and don't cover the news. And, you know, I think this is the show. I think there's room now for the show that just talks about, you know, the kind of things we'd talk about if the government weren't in everyone's day all the time. So you have a couple passions, and we're going to talk. You have a lot of passions, but there's a couple that we're going to focus on tonight. And what are your two topics that you want to talk about tonight?
Well, we're going to talk about operating systems, and we're going to talk about music creation and audio editing, and maybe a little video editing too. I've been a computer guy since, I'd say, late 98, early 99. And originally, I've always loved computers. Ever since I was a kid, I think the first computer I used was in 84, an Apple IIe, maybe. I'm not sure which model it was. It was in school. So I've always liked computers. And I got into computers solely to get music off Napster. That was my big thing back in 98. But my friend helped me build a computer. And once I started learning about them, I was fascinated. The amount of productivity you could get out of a computer was amazing. The things you could do with computers was amazing. I remember in 2000, Trent Reznor on his Nine Inch Nails website had a little remix board for a song. And by the way, Nine Inch Nails is my favorite band. And, you know, I just started practicing, remixing this song. I did a couple of different versions, and I thought it was fascinating. That led me to some of the stuff we're going to talk about tonight.
He uses Apples, right? Apple computers?
He does.
And so do you, right?
Yep.
I don't know a lot of people, actually, that use Apples for media production now. Most people I know use either Windows or Linux. It used to be, and I guess this is one of the things you wanted to talk about, was the differences. I don't really define myself by my operating system. A lot of people do. Do you?
No.
You're not an Apple guy. You just happen to use Apple.
Yes. In fact, sitting in front of me right now, I have a Mac Pro and I have a dual boot Windows and Linux machine. I also have in my living room a Windows machine that I built specifically for video editing. Actually, Nine Inch Nails had released some high def footage of three of their shows. And since they weren't creating a DVD, they just said, hey, you guys create your own DVD. And I built that Windows machine specifically for that. So I think that each operating system has its pluses, you know, and its negatives.
Yeah, the reason I mainly use Windows computers is because the first computer with a GUI, you know, a graphic user interface, that a relative gave me as a hand-me-down was a Windows computer, and I just went from there. You know, I didn't know better, I guess, which isn't being an apologist. I love Windows computer. I love Windows 7, actually. I kind of feel like Windows has reached its pinnacle, and it's, you know, there's that thing called the Peter Principle. Do you know what that is?
No.
Well, I feel that Windows 8 is proof of the Peter Principle. The Peter Principle was the name of a book in, I think, the 60s, and it was one of the first kind of books for managers and organizational people. You know, now that's a really common thing. I mean, that's a whole section of a bookstore. But it basically, the guy's last name was Peter, and he basically put forth the principle that in any organization, people tend to rise. It's stated as people rise to their level of incompetence and then stay there. And what that means is that going up in a vertically integrated company, for instance, or the Army, or, you know, the Boy Scouts, or, you know, your local whatever club, you know, anything that's vertically integrated, people tend to, they get promoted when they do well, and they go up a bunch of levels, and they get to the point where they're doing the absolute best job they can, and that's where they should be. But then people promote them, because that's what you do with someone when they're doing well, and then they go just above where they would be most effective, and they can't be effective because they're kind of out of their depth, but they're not doing a bad enough job to get fired, so they get stuck there. And I feel like Windows 8 is that in Windows, because Windows 7, you know, I went through Windows 3.1, Windows XP, Windows Vista, which nobody liked. I didn't like. It didn't have that long. And then and I actually had like Windows Server 2000 at some point, and experimented with Windows ME, which was kind of like the Vista of its time.
Yeah.
And then got Windows 7, and I've just stayed there. I've edited like three high-def movies on Windows 7. And then I've played around a little bit with Windows 8 and done a lot of tech support for people with this new program we have with people on Windows 8, and it seems a lot more problematic. Also, Windows 8 seems more tablet-oriented, and it seems more for media, for content consumption than for content creation.
Well, there's a shift. It's actually quite sad, in my opinion, with both Windows and Mac, to that media tablet style consumption that you were speaking to. They want to unify the operating system look and feel to the point where it's like a tablet or a smartphone, and it drives me nuts. You know, I love my Mac Pro and I love my Windows desktop. I like desktops. I have three laptops. you know, but they still run the
I mainly buy desktops. The one thing I love about desktops, especially Windows desktops, is just the sheer amount of computing power you get for a really low price. I mean, I can edit a high def feature length movie on a $400 desktop computer. I don't think you can do that with a Mac, and you cannot do it with a Windows laptop at that price.
Yes, you can't do it with a Mac.
Can or cannot?
You cannot. Because, yeah. Well, I suppose you could go get an old PPC Mac.
No, I'm talking about just like the killer renders really quickly. You know, basically what I'm saying get for every $100 of computing that you spend, you get more power for your money with a PC than with a Mac.
Yeah. Now, when I built my Windows Media Machine in 2008, I spent about $900 building that. But we had, you know, we're talking top of the line stuff, and most of it was new. You know, it was a quad core, 8 gigs of RAM, a really nice DDR, at the time it was DDR3 graphics card. You know, I decked it right out. Last year, I bought a 2008 model Mac Pro used on eBay, which is it's two dual processors. So it's a quad core, 3 gigahertz, with a 512 DDR3 card and 16 gigs of RAM and a terabyte hard drive. And I paid $500, which, by the way, somebody must have been smiling down on me, because I've been searching for Mac Pros for 2 years and I've never seen one under $1,000. So I got a heck of a deal with that. Now, you talked about editing high-def video on Windows. What do you use?
What program?
Yeah.
Adobe Premiere, whatever the suite is. Yep. Yeah, something suite. 6 or 5. Yeah.
Yeah, I have the Nine Inch Nails video I edited, and the few videos I've done, I did with Premiere CS5. My friend who does video editing and production for a living, he works for
finish up, we're going to the break.
Yeah, he works for, well, I'll finish the story after.
All right, this is Michael Dean, After Dark. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You are destined to be listening to this show, Michael Dean After Dark, on this very night. Thank you for arriving.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker Podcast. I'll show you the difference between leadership and authority, and how to eliminate the demand for authority while remaining peaceful and even calm. We have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. Check out the Bad Quaker Podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Michael Dean After Dark. We're talking about computers and operating systems and editing software and all the wonderful things that make it easy to have your own TV network, radio network, and publishing company from your bedroom to reach the world and pet it in special places from your home, which is something I'm really good at. I'm under house arrest voluntarily. I don't leave that much. So you were talking about a friend that worked for public broadcasting or something. What was it?
Yeah, he works for public broadcasting and a couple of TV stations. He also teaches at a school. He is definitely a Mac guy.
He think he's better than other people because he's a Mac guy?
No.
When I think of a Mac guy, I think of someone who defines themselves and looks down on people and jumps into forum threads and complains if you mention any, if you say you're a Windows guy, they look down on you.
No, he definitely doesn't, and he's always open to learning new things. In fact, he's had Windows computers. It's just through opportunity he's gotten a chance to work on Macs, and he learned Macs. And he extolled the virtues of Final Cut Pro to me, which I will not diss. It's a great editing software.
Well, it really was the first thing that people could do from the desktop at home and edit video.
Yes, it was. And, you know, when I was editing that multi-cam video. I tried using it on my MacBook, which just didn't have the power. And the interface for Final Cut Pro is it's similar to Premiere, but there are some significant differences.
Well, it's similar in generally what they do with most software that is for doing something that emulates something that was done before computers, like editing film or editing music. The interface generally resembles things that you do in the non-digital world. You know, like they have bins in Final Cut Pro to put your clips in, and that's from actually film editing. You had bins to have different film clips in.
Right. Well, you know, I didn't... So we would get into discussions, and you know, he liked the final product that I created, and I was like, "Man, I made this with Premiere," and he does use Premiere on his Mac. But yeah, I did it all on a Windows machine, and it was great. And to this day, when even though I have an awesome Mac Pro now, I still use Premiere. Sometimes I use it on my Mac, sometimes I use it on my Windows machine, because as far as computing power goes, they're both comparable. But I will say that for audio creation, not so much audio editing, but audio creation, Mac has me hooked. I don't know if you've ever used Logic Pro, but it is amazing.
No, but I got my friend Cliff Truesdell a book deal to write about a 600-page book on Mac music production. Have you seen his book?
I probably have.
Yeah, Cliff Truesdell. It's one of the, you know, one of the 20 books on that topic that are highly respected. And he was really into that and, you know, talked constantly to me about it. I've seen it. I've seen the interface of it. And I know how it gangs together different modules to emulate things in the real world. It kind of looks like a rack mount, right?
There's actually several different control services.
Okay.
I know you're familiar with this one because I heard you talking about it on The Fiends. I started off, when I first started doing music production, it was with Sonic Foundry's SoundForge 4 and Acid Pro. And Acid was great.
What year was that?
We're talking probably 2003, 2004.
I started using the Sonic Foundry stuff before, you know, this is way before it went to Sony, but I started using it in 1997. And
yeah,
I remember when Vegas came out. Vegas was not a video editing program. It was an audio multi-tracking program only. And then they added video just kind of as an afterthought. And then it grew to where it was a video editing program primarily. But I still use it only for multi-tracking audio.
Well, I think Acid Pro grew out of that, because once Vegas became more video-oriented, they had a separate one just for audio, more specialized with more tools. Now,
are you talking about Acid? Acid was always a different program, though, from Vegas.
Okay, but
Acid was a program before Vegas existed.
Okay, all right.
Now, we didn't finish. I had more things to say about video editing software.
Okay.
Do you want to go backtrack a minute?
Yeah.
The main three programs that are used for video editing, I've used all three of them for feature films or been in the room while one of my films is being edited and participated in it. It's Avid, Final Cut Pro, and Premiere. I've experienced with all three of them, and Premiere is hands down much better. And it's primarily used in Hollywood now over the others.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, the invigorating alternative to those other late-night shows. You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Good evening, ladies and kitty cats. This is Michael Dean. It's After Dark. We're talking audio, one of my favorite things in the world to do. So where do we leave off, Chandler? There's a million directions we could go into, but where do you want to take this?
Well, let's go back into the audio. We've pretty much finished up with the video.
I'm actually pretty much finished up with the video, which is kind of interesting because I've done a lot of movie making and, you know, even done things that had like Academy Award winners and nominees in it, all over it. And I just am not that interested in video anymore. I mean, it's a really powerful medium when done correctly, but it's so much easier to produce audio. And I can literally produce an hour of high quality audio that's meaningful to people in an hour. I'm doing it twice tonight. I'm doing 2 hours tonight. And I did a, you know, 2 hour interview earlier with Derek and I Gnostic Media podcast. And, you know, what it comes down to for me is I say it in my ad for Creamy Radio Audio, my audio tip site. My wife says it, but I wrote it. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to struggle through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. And really, I mean, I think that people are really rediscovering, you know, first with podcasting, and now it's kind of seeping, Liberty stuff is kind of seeping into radio with Free Talk Live and with Freedom Fiends and with this show. And it really is the most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. And people like audio because they can consume it while they're doing something else. You can't drive a car, hopefully, thank God, hopefully you're not driving a car and watching a movie. I know some people do it. But, you know, you can do almost any task and listen to people talking. And, you know, books on tape, I guess they're books on tape, I'm old, you know, like audiobooks and podcasts are becoming really popular. One of my goals is to improve the quality of Liberty Media. And one of the things is, you know, just telling people how to get basic sound. It's not that hard. I've been recommending this microphone. You're using it right now, right? The, you got an Audio Technica 2005 USB mic, right?
Yes. I just got it this afternoon. Yeah. I like it.
And they cost $60. And basically that and a pair of headphones is all you need to do a radio show or a podcast now. Like literally a radio show. I mean, I have guests on the Freedom Fiends using that mic, and it costs, you know, we're on 22 radio stations, and that's more than a lot of syndicated radio shows. And I trust that mic to have people on. It's a good mic. I do a little bit of sound checking with people beforehand, but even over Skype, it sounds okay. And, you know, it sounds better. It sounds about 85% as good as, you know, the $500 mic that I use. I'm actually using a cheaper mic tonight, and you said it sounds better than the RE20, which costs $500. I'm using a $130 Shure 57 Beta. And the reason I'm using it is because I kind of threw my back out just stressing on building the roads for .bit with MeowBit, just working as hard as I've been working. And it's not that comfortable for me to lie in a chair, so I'm actually lying on my bed. That's why you keep hearing the cat sometimes, because I keep putting the mic over by the cat.
Ah, but that adds to the ambience of the show.
Yeah, it does.
No, I would agree with you on a couple of points. I do like video. As far as production of, I won't even say full-length movies.
It takes a year to make a movie right, though, for me, working full-time.
It's 90 minutes long,
and it takes me like 90 minutes to make 90 minutes of good talking with any good, smart host. You know, it takes a little more than that. I mean, I have to edit it. I do a tiny bit of prep, but it's also getting to the point where I don't even prep anymore. Like, Neem and I used to do 4 hours of prep for each weekend, and now we do no prep and have usually no show notes, and it's better than ever. And you and I did, you sent me a list of like six topics, and I said, by email, I looked at them for 2 minutes and decided, let's do these two. These are the two that interest me the most. And, you know, that was our show prep. And then we did about 10 minutes of audio testing and tweaking your mic. And, you know, basically getting good audio is just be in a room that's not you know, hard, cold surfaces. You don't want, you know, the enemies of good sound are glass and metal and rock. And the friends of good sound are basically rugs and carpeting and, you know, thick curtains. And then you have a good mic and you have it not too far from your mouth and not too close to your mouth. And you have to have a, you know, 50 cent foam pop filter on it, little windscreen. And other than that, it's all bells and whistles that you don't need, man. That, and I mean, I have a good tube preamp and a good mixer, but are you have a mixer, but not a compressor, right?
Correct.
Yeah. And you sound pretty good.
And I'd be curious to see next week when I'm on, if you want.
You said we curious.
I'll be curious to see if I just hook the USB mic up with no mixer, how it sounds.
It'll sound about the same, but you won't be able to control it. Now, are you plugging your USB mic into a mixer?
Yeah, I have an XLR cable into my mixer. And
okay,
then
so you're not even using the USB function of it, because this mic also has an XLR out.
Yes. And I'm not using that function. But one of the things I did like about this mic is, obviously, it has the straight USB right to the computer, and it has a headphone jack for monitoring yourself.
Yeah. Can you hear yourself in the headphone monitor when you use it?
Well, what I've got right now is I have my nice set of headphones to listen to you, you know, doing Skype, but I also have one earbud in my right ear plugged into my mixer to monitor myself. Just nice. So I know I'm not, you know, coughing or smoking, vaping, whatever, too loudly.
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
I always put myself and the person I'm talking with into my headphones. Nima does not put himself into his headphones. He doesn't like to, which probably comes from being a DJ, you know, because they monitor things differently, you know, doing spinning records. But yeah, I like this mic, man. I've gone through a lot of mics. The one that you're using, I've been recommending to everybody. I tell people to buy it through my Amazon link, and I think I've sold 12 or 15 of them through Amazon. Plus, I've bought four myself and given one away. And then I have one is lent out to Derek because we're doing interviews about Meowbit. And one is lent to Nikki Darling because she's a co-host on the show. And one is currently somebody else has it, and they're sending it back to me in a few days. So,
well, it's definitely worth the investment. I had the other microphone you recommended last year.
Well, it was what was – I don't think this one was out yet. This one has 2005 in the name, but it's not from the – they should change the name. It sounds like it's, you know, 7 years old.
It actually came out, I think – was October or November of last year.
Yeah, I recommended the Yeti, which is a decent mic, but it's not as good as this mic, and it's $40 more. And it's actually what did you
have? The mic I'm talking about is the, Nady Star Power SP.
Oh, the $17 mic. Well, that's actually a decent mic for $17 works for radio, but it does not have a USB input. And what I'm really enamored with about this USB mic that you're using, the Audio Technica 2005 USB, is that it has built-in USB interface and a little tiny bit of compression. So it actually does some sound, you know, some sound maintenance, so it makes everybody sound pretty good. So basically, it fulfills something I've been looking for a long time, which is a mic I can recommend to people that is affordable, that they'll have for doing interviews and being a guest host. And, you know, this show that we're doing right now, I'm kind of looking at it like not only the topic being what radio would be like in LibPair after the government's out of the way, but also I'm kind of looking at it as the journalism school, the radio classes, you know, because we have people like you who've been on done shows before, but I also have some people that have never done radio, and I'm really psyched to have them on.
Well, I will say, and you know, thank you, because I, through listening to the Freedom Fiends and reading Creamy Radio Audio, I've always been an audio guy, but I've learned a lot in the last year, and I'm going to be able to carry that through, and I'll be able to teach people certain things.
Yeah, man.
And
it's like I'm the Popcorn Sutton. I don't know if you heard the interview last night with Jack Johnson. Did you hear it?
No, I haven't listened to it yet.
But he knew Popcorn Sutton, and he talked a lot about that guy. That guy was like the Johnny Appleseed of corn liquor, of moonshine. And he not only like made moonshine and defied the law and kept selling it and kept carrying a gun even after they made him a felon for selling it. But he also like wrote books on how to make his recipe and taught a lot of people and had them apprentice and come over and help him out. So, you know, he's dead and gone. The government basically forced him to kill himself because he was like 67 and had cancer and was facing 50 years in prison. So, but his thing lives on and it's unstoppable. You can't stop an idea. And I don't know if I'm going to die in a hail fire of ATF, or, you know, FCC gunfire when they arm everybody. I mean, I don't break the law and I think that I'm eventually going to, I might be murdered for something that's not even breaking the law, or I might die, you know, of old age with my wife and my cat surrounded, you know, quietly in my home. But I would like to be responsible, partially at least, for, you know, training 50 to 100 quality radio hosts to take my place.
I think that's a very noble goal.
Not that it takes 50 or 100 people to take my place, but I just want this to be unstoppable, man. And I have a bunch of really weird, broad collection of skill sets that I've honed, and I'm trying to pass them on to as many Liberty people as I can.
Well, I think that's the goal. It kind of referencing what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, part of...
Oh, I do have to interject. We actually have our first radio station now. We are on...
Awesome.
I want to welcome Lakeshore 1650 in Rowlett, Texas, which is... they're not playing us live. They're going to play this show tomorrow. It's going to be one day delayed. They are... I call them the most powerful station in the Tri-Yard area, which is actually an understatement, but they are probably the best known and the best Part 15 radio station in the country. You know what Part 15 is?
Isn't that like micro-broadcasting?
It's micro-broadcasting. It's basically broadcasting legally. The FCC knows this station exists, and they do not have a license. It's not pirate radio. We're probably on some pirate radio, too. I don't know. But they are the... Like, if you search Part 15 radio stations, they come up within the first or second or third hit. They do it right. Basically, they have it tuned to the maximum legal capacity. They have their antenna up high. They have their antenna the perfect length. And they also broadcast over the internet. And they reach like 2.5 miles with Part 15, which is unheard of, in a really populated suburb of Dallas. So they are
very nice.
Hats off to Lakeshore Radio for putting us on. I just talked to them today. I actually made like custom liners for it. They also run it with a show clock with automation. You know, it's like a commercial radio station, the way it's run. We'll be back with more on Michael Dean After Dark, talking about the future of Liberty Media.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and yes, we're broadcasting this message into space.
Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Who will build the roads without the government? Me and my buddies, like Chandler. So Chandler, we're going to... end hour one here before we come back for hour two. We're gonna put the final nail in the coffin of the operating system wars.
Indeed.
I don't really participate in that war, but
yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. So here's what I'll say about operating systems from my common man perspective, although I guess I'm not quite a common man because I do love computers. Each one has its benefits, has its pros and its cons. Macs, I really like for media creation, and the GUI. I mean, it's that simple. People the people that say, well, Macs aren't prone to viruses, that drives me nuts. They don't understand how computers work and how...
They are prone to viruses, but people write viruses for Windows more because more people are in Windows and they want to hurt as many people as possible.
There's a greater market share. And I will tell you, with the advent of iOS and how we were talking earlier, that how they're trying to unify the operating systems, Macs are much more vulnerable. In fact, there was a huge bug that attacked Adobe Flash in Macs, and they had to do several updates. So you're foolish, and you're putting yourself at risk if you just think that Macs aren't prone to viruses. I actually have an antivirus program for my Mac.
It's kind of like it's false security. It's kind of like how it's worse to have a bulletproof vest that isn't very bulletproof than to have no vest, because if you have a faulty bulletproof vest, you're going to put yourself in more risk because you think you're protected.
Exactly. Now, when you talk about CPU architecture and file structure, yes, Mac is a little more secure than Windows, but not much. So it really does come down to the fact that Windows has a greater market share. So that's why viruses are written for that, as opposed to Mac and Linux.
They're not really written for Linux. It's kind of hard to write that because of the way that Linux is structured. It's actually kind of hard to write it for them. And also, Linux people are so proactive that if they found a vulnerability, it would get patched in minutes, or hours rather than days like with Microsoft. So
the Linux community online is amazing because up until a year and a half ago, I knew nothing about Linux, and I have much to learn, but the community online is so helpful.
It kind of reminds me of the cryptocurrency community, except that there's a little more competition in the cryptocurrency community because people don't want to share their secrets of wealth, as much. But it's kind of foolish because really, like, the more the stronger Bitcoin or Namecoin becomes, the more valuable it is, not just in dollars, but in utility and in unstoppability.
Exactly. So a lot of media creation and basically the GUI. Love Macs. They're great.
Basically, I would say that most of the arguments of Mac versus Windows are false arguments. It's kind of like arguing Democrat versus Republican.
Yeah.
And really, like, Linux is libertarian. So if someone tries to make an argument with me, which I see all the time on forums, if they try to, like, attack me because I'm using Macs or Windows, I just laugh at them. And also, when people try to like say, oh, if I say, oh, how do I do this on Windows, which is pretty rare that I have to ask, but sometimes I do. And invariably, some evangelist will jump in and say, get rid of your PC and buy a Mac, buy Linux and get Linux. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. They're like, wipe your system and install Linux. And I'm like, you're an idiot, because I'm not asking, what should be my 5-year plan or my 5-month plan. I'm asking, how do I do this right now for this deadline that I have going out? And Linux stuff is not that great for media production, because there really is not something, for instance, for video editing that's as robust as Adobe Premiere. And there's also lacking a lot of drivers for doing a lot of things on Linux. Yeah. And, the Linux answer is, well, you write your own drivers. And I'm like, no, I don't write. I only have a limit. I'm going to turn 50 here pretty soon. I'm kind of set my ways with computing. I do more with Windows than anybody I know, pretty much media wise, and I'm not going to switch operating systems to get a slight advantage on something. So that's my final answer.
And why would you limit yourself to?
Yeah,
Dean After Dark. Go to michaelwdean.com. That's michaelwdean.com.
Good evening, my fellow worms.
I know some things you don't know.
I'll be back with more later on.
Never satisfied.
This is Michael Dean After Dark.
È stato sperimentato.
The United States government presents
No Vision.
Not having enough money.
The power was so great.
Esto por su parte considera
to provide guidance to mankind.
Go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. We'll be back for hour two after this trip to the market on Michael Dean After Dark.
Bye for now.
Want to contribute to Liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
This is hour two of Michael Dean After Dark, and all of the music that you're hearing on the bumps and the liners is all me. I made all of it or had something to do with making all of it, and some of it, like that piece you just heard, was done entirely on a computer. Well, there is guitar and bass on it, but I actually wrote a lot of them for this show because I had a show and suddenly I needed music, and I didn't want to use canned music and didn't want to use stuff I'd used before. And then some of the other music that you're hearing in this show is from my old band Bomb, and that is stuff that was recorded on 16-track or 24-track tape back when people recorded on tape, and back when recording something that sounded good involved going into a studio and spending between $50 and $500 an hour to record.
Michael, did you ever hear the story of how Black Sabbath recorded their first album?
I know they did it really quick and really cheap.
Yep.
Not as quick and cheap as Nirvana's first album, but yeah.
Yep. They did it on a 4-track in 8 hours with very few takes. They went it, and it was funny because it was supposed to be for a radio show, and they ended up just recording the whole album, and the producers were like, this is great, and thus the first Black Sabbath album was born.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm also a big Sabbath fan. They're probably my second favorite band.
Yeah, I like them a lot. I listened to some today. I listened to Sweetleaf, of all things. I just had it was in my head, and I wanted to get it out of my head, and the only way to get it out was to listen to it.
It's got that catchy riff, you know?
Yeah, man.
I was into today was Alice Cooper mood for me.
Yeah, you know, one reason a lot of older music sounds better than new music from a sonic standpoint, I mean, digital recording has reached great heights, but a lot of people still with digital recording now try to replicate some of the dirt. Yes. With analog recording because it's gotten too clean to the point where it's not that it sounds unnatural, but actually there were some things that were introduced in analog recording in the recording chain that kind of improved the sound. And one of the things is using a tube preamp. And I'm using a tube preamp. I'm actually using a tube preamp with a 1962 tube in it, a vintage tube. There's warehouses full of these things around in Berlin and Russia, and they've been leaking out to the market recently. And somebody, a Fiend fan, gave me a 1962 Telefunken Berlin, West Berlin tube, which is, they cost about $150. And the modern versions of the same tube, you know, cost $15 for a good one and $6 for the cheap Chinese ones. And but I really like the vintage one.
Yeah, I think it was last year I posted a picture on Nima's Facebook page. I was at the Salvation Army and they had a little plate with 8 old tubes. I can't remember the brand name. You can see them on the picture, but you know, I posted that in Worms. Thought I'd get a kick out of that.
Yeah.
But so, yeah, audio creation. Now, I am a musician, not in the sense that you are. You know, you actually play instruments. You've been in a recording studio and done it old school.
I've toured the world, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Myself, I play drums, and I can read and write just a little bit of music. I'm not really that good at it.
I don't read music very well either. Most rock musicians don't read music, so that doesn't define being a musician to me.
Right. What I do have is an ear. I can keep time. I can, you know, I hear music. And I know that sounds silly, but if you're a musician, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So being that Nine Inch Nails is my favorite band too, I really got into audio creation in the digital world with DAWs, digital audio workstations, and plugins. My first experience, like I told you earlier, was with Acid Pro, just looping. In fact, one of the loops in your bump, I also have as a pattern in one of my first songs. I recognized it immediately. Like, I remember that loop.
Oh, it's from a library that it came with the program Acid, or you bought to go with Acid.
Yep.
And actually, it's like a lot of the loops that I use are from that pack back then. And when it came out, I didn't like using them because everybody was using them, but it's kind of so old school now that no one wants to use them anymore.
Exactly.
So they sound new again.
Yeah. So I did a few songs just fooling around with looping. And then I've remixed a lot of Nine Inch Nails songs because he did a couple albums where he put all the multi-tracks out. And then I've done a few for our podcast too, as well. I haven't been doing it as much lately. I just haven't had the time. But so Acid Pro was the first one, and I still recommend it. It's a great program, and it's relatively inexpensive. The next one I moved on to was Ableton Live. Now, that is a very interesting program because it serves two functions. It has an editing interface, and it also has a control surface interface for live DJing. So you can create segments, loops, compositions with virtual instruments, and you can split them up into segments, and it's like a control board. So you can trigger them, and you can do it all live. So you can create a song with parts, but when you're performing live, you can remix on the fly, which I've talked to Nima a little bit about that, and that's kind of something that's more down his alley. And that's really good, and they have a lot of good packs. You know, you're talking a little bit more money. I think the pro version is like $300. So, you know, it's if you don't have money, there's some free software out there. You just Google like
people pay for software, huh?
Some of
I'm
us.
A PC guy. That's another thing about PCs, man. You can get well, anyway, let's just move on.
Yeah, there's a lot of free software out there. But, you know, you get what you pay for, too.
No. Well, I don't know.
Well, there's
I'm not talking about free software. I'm talking about free software.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know that Nine Inch Nails video that's yes. it's them playing live in a studio in a basement of a house, and Marilyn Manson is playing rhythm guitar in it.
Gave Up. It's one of my favorite.
What's it called?
Gave Up.
I'll tell you what that video did for me. That video, okay, I was in punk rock really early on. I lived in DC when Minor Threat was playing live, and I used to go see him play live, and I played gigs with bands that are on Discord Records that were on Flex Your Head. We warmed up for Iron Cross. We played with some other bands that were on that. We played with Red Sea. The thing, you know, like that music kind of like blew arena rock out of the water, but it was still like guitar based rock. Now, when Nine Inch Nails came along, and I was listening to Depeche Mode too around the same time, they were really groundbreaking. I really liked them a lot, and they kind of have a reputation as being kind of puss, kind of soft, but they have some really hard music too, especially the Violated record.
Yeah, that's my favorite album by them.
And there's a lot of Pink Floyd in that, and there's probably some Pink Floyd, I think, too, in Nine Inch Nails. And
yes.
You know, I also picture Devo was a big influence on both of those bands in a big way. But here's the thing, like I grew up, I'm gonna be 50 soon. I grew up with bands like Electric Light Orchestra and Queen were two things that I listened to a lot for like big symphonic kind of rock. And Queen, on their first five or six records, they put like they listed the names of the band members and what they played, and then at the bottom of that they said, and nobody played synthesizer. Like that was a matter of pride for them. And Electric Light Orchestra, they actually used symphonic instruments, you know, on the records, and they sometimes had some symphony members live, but not a full symphony. And there was actually a really big controversy with them because it turned out that they were using tapes live to augment their sound.
Yeah.
And people literally wanted their money back And I remember hearing that, and I remember thinking, like, well, they're not lip syncing. They're still singing and playing. What does it matter if there's some stuff on tape? And why is Queen so proud they don't use synthesizers? I like Queen a lot, but I like Pink Floyd, and they use synthesizers. And it really just, like, Nine Inch Nails, and specifically that video I'm talking of, answered that question for me, because that video is a band raging live in a little tiny room about the size of my living room. And they don't hide the fact that it's not just guitar, bass, and drums. It's like, actually, the song starts with the drummer leans over and starts a drum machine and then counts off to it and plays real drums to it. And then they show, like, the keyboard player using an Apple computer and, like, triggering something on the mouse and then playing the keyboard. And I'm like, that's how it should be, man. That's okay. They're not only not hiding it and not ashamed of it, they're, like, saying, yes, this is a hard kick butt rock and roll musical instrument. You know?
Yeah, he was actually using Ableton to do that.
Trigger. I was wondering. Yeah.
So you want to, for the audience out there, if you're interested in this sort of thing, I would highly recommend the 2008 documentary Kraftwerk and the Electronic Revolution.
Kraftwerk. Talk about old school. Yeah, I always liked them too, back in the day. And a lot of people didn't like them. And a lot of people I knew who were into rock, like, even who liked David Bowie didn't like, even who liked, like, David Bowie's kind of, like, fruitier persona, even though, like, they were kind of, like, threatened sexually by it, you know, they still liked, like, the Spider from Mars era, but they really didn't like the Berlin Trilogy. They were like, that's too freaky and cold and, you know, Euro fascist rock and Kraftwerk-y for them.
Yeah. The documentary, I mean, I do like Kraftwerk. I'm not a huge fan, but I recognize their contribution. And the documentary, it's not just about Kraftwerk. It's about that whole birth of the digital music scene. I found it thoroughly informing and entertaining.
Do you use Reason?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I know Nima's really big on Reason. I use Reason in this manner. I'll open Reason as a slave in either Ableton or Logic or Adobe Premiere.
Look at the link I just sent you. It's this is my old roommate and band member, Cliff Truesdell, and I got him a book deal, and he wrote Mastering Digital Audio Production, the Professional Music Workflow for Mac OS X, and Introducing Reason 4. Those are the two books you probably seen those.
I've seen the I've seen them both, and I've actually checked out Introducing Reason 4. I do like Reason, but I don't use it as a standalone. I'll slave it in a DAW and, you know, come up with some beats and patterns.
Explain what that means, because people don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
Slave and DAW.
Yep. So, even though I'm a freedom guy, I do like to slave my applications in DAWs.
Well, they volunteer, so it's not real slavery.
So, you have Reason 4, which is an excellent music production studio. And you can open it in another program. So, yeah, we'll talk about that when we come back.
Cool.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm speaking directly to you. Yes, you.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
We took an interesting turn during the break. We talked this over a little bit, and we decided we're not going to talk about individual programs for music creation, because that's going to appeal to about one half of 1% of our listeners, and the rest are going to go, huh? So we're going to talk in general about technology and how it changes things, and we're going to try to do it in an interesting way so we don't sound like someone in 1996 writing an article in Time magazine about the internet will change the world. Go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to finish the one thought before break when I was talking about slaving programs. It's really simple, and you can do it in more than music creation. It's basically where you take one standalone program and you have it kind of as a slave in another program, but they work simultaneously, voluntarily together to produce something new and interesting, kind of like what we do.
Every once in a while, somebody tries to politically correct that term of slave and master when talking about two programs or two pieces of equipment. And they just haven't come up with it, anything that says it like that. I've also even seen it taken further to where, like, there's people who are offended by calling plugs male and female.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's really what they are. Like, the slave and master thing you could argue against, but the plugs are male and female, man. I guess they could be male and male depending on how you're looking at it, but that would be confusing. So, you know.
Yeah. So on the break we were talking, one of the things that's so great about technology is a very low-key average person like me who doesn't have a lot of musical training can create and produce music, something that comes from within you that's individual. And, you know, you put it out there. I mean, I don't make any money on my music. I mean, it's whatever. The little music I create, I throw out there and say, hey, man, you know, what do you think about this? What would you do?
Well, you know, a lot of it's got to do with like how powerful computers have become, not in their processing power, but in their ability for someone without specialized training to be able to use them the same way that an artist uses a brush without a lot of programming knowledge. Really has to do with the synergy between programmers and non-programmers. And like Derek and I working together, Derek Slopey and I working together are kind of like an amazing two-guy band. You know, I don't do any programming, but Meowbit wouldn't exist without me, and it certainly wouldn't exist without him. And the drive that we're working on together with it, it's basically, you know, the movie Office Space?
Yes.
There's a scene in there where they're trying to like make everyone justify their jobs. And this one guy who has a completely useless job yells, I deal with the damn customers. I can talk to the programmers can't talk to people. I deal with the damn customers, damn it. And like, he's actually justifying a fake position that he shouldn't have that can be eliminated. But I literally do deal with the public and deal with the programmer. I mean, Derek can deal with the public, but you know, he didn't want to do interview. He had never like gone out and tried to do an interview. I got him a mic and I did I basically interviewed him myself the other night. I haven't put it out yet. I'm saving it for if one of my hosts ever doesn't show up. I'm just going to play it on this show. Yeah. But it's in the can for safety. But, you know, and then he did his first interview ever today, and it went really well. And I kind of like staggered it where I had like, you know, first I interviewed him with just me. Then I got him on a show that's kind of popular. Thursday, we're doing a show that's really popular. And then Tuesday, we're doing a really, really popular show. And by, you know, he's already ready, but it's kind of like that's my intentional method for getting him ready for like, I think Time Magazine or Wired Magazine is going to want to interview us within a few months. So I want you to be ready. So, you know,
it goes along with what you're trying to do with media production and the Liberty Mission.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah. And really like adoption is 98% of this stuff. And then the rest is having it really, really usable. You know, I wouldn't say 98%, but for this particular program, it is 98%. But, you know, not saying he only does 2% of the work. It's 50-50, the amount of time we're putting into it. But, you know, like literally the first video, you know, editing program or like thing that I saw was like actually QuickTime Pro, which was ridiculous. And it had a maximum, you know, view size of like 220, like basically an inch by an inch and a half.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was on Windows 91 and, you know, old Macs or Windows 3.1. The reason that this stuff gets a lot better in interface and usability isn't just the computing power. It's like companies that are really smart where they have you know, programmers that can interface with musicians, that can interface with project managers, that can tell the programmers how to do what the musicians want. You know, when I first started using computers, like, I had to download drivers for my first modem, like from a friend's computer, put them on a floppy disk, and then install them with code to make it work. And now that's
I remember those days.
You're listening to Michael Dean After Dark, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Meowbit is free software from the Freedom Fiends that allows you to effortlessly view .bit websites. Meowbit works on all browsers. .bit is a new type of web address that's not controlled by any government or corporation. And we'll show you how to register a .bit domain today using a few cents worth of Namecoin. If anyone ever shuts down your .com website, users will still be able to get to your site using your .bit address and our free software, Meowbit. Go to meowbit.com. That's meowbit.com. So we made a decision. We decided that Tuesday nights on this show, Wednesday mornings, are going to be audio production and computer discussion. That's what Chandler likes to do. I like to do it. He says he can't do it with any of his hosts. I can't do it with most of my hosts. So, and I could talk, and I could do a whole, I could do 5 nights a week on this. So you were going to tell a little story about the Nine Inch Nails video.
Yeah, so you were talking about how when people have Macs and they send you files, a lot of times you can't open them in Windows.
Yeah.
And I said a lot of times that's ignorance.
Well,
which
it's
it
also I said whenever anybody sends me a file that I can't open, whether it's audio, video, or image, or text, it's a Mac person. It's not a Windows person. It's not a Linux person. It's always right. A Mac person. So you're basically saying that Mac users are ignorant.
No, I would never say something so bold as that.
Because they'll beat you up.
Yeah, yeah. All those hipsters.
All those skinny nerds will get together and 50 of them will be able to beat you up.
So a lot, and I can't say it generally and collectively that it's ignorance, but a lot of times that's what it boils down
well,
to.
Well, I think it's because the way that Macs are marketed, they look really friendly. And that's kind of part of my problem with them, because the whole argument of people who are like religious about Macs, first of all, they're all Democrats. Like every Obama lover uses a Mac, in my experience. And it's really, it's basically goes back to like the 1984 commercial and the like Think Different campaign, to where they basically sold Microsoft, their main competitor, as evil corporate, you know, stiff people, and Mac users and Macs themselves as like kind of this hippie nature, this free, what, and it's like, it's such horse crap, because Mac,
well,
you know, Apple is a huge corporation just like Microsoft, and they actually are more closed and don't play well with others and the rest of the world than Microsoft. And there's a quote by one of the creators of Linux, Richard Stallman, that sums it up really well. He said, "Steve Jobs made jail cool."
Yeah, well, the problem was they started out really grassroots and hippie, working out of their garage, as did Microsoft. In fact, they ran in the same circles, Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. But the problem is that as they gained popularity and market share, they became more corporatized. And Steve Jobs is an interesting character. He was a visionary. That was his main contribution to Apple. He wasn't a very nice person, but he did get results. But he believed in a closed system. You know, when they made the Apple IIe's, he wanted to make them so you couldn't open them up and alter them at all. He believed that the way they designed them was the way it was going to be. That is one of the things about Mac that I do have a big problem with. My Mac Pro, I can customize it. You know, I can open the case up and customize it fairly well. There's a few things you can't do. My MacBook, forget about it.
Yeah, I mean, Linux people, you know, rightfully so, point out the extensibility of the operating system. If you don't like an aspect of it, you can literally just
change it.
But it takes some knowledge. And for someone that does not have programming ability, you know, you're either going to be using a Mac or a PC, most likely.
Or you're going to learn how to program.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to know how to program to use Linux. And that's kind of an old cliche that's not true anymore. Like, someone who doesn't know, someone could be using Linux and not even know it. And everybody uses it when they use the web, because every web server uses it, or most of them. But, you know, on a Linux computer, you can sit somebody down on it and they can surf the web and do email, you know, if it's configured for that easily without even really noticing they're on Linux. It's so similar these days. But
right.
Yeah.
So back to the file formats. Quick story. When Nine Inch Nails released the HD footage for fans to edit, the problem that us at the time, I was strictly a Windows user, the problem that us Windows users ran into is all that footage was encoded through Final Cut Pro with the Red 9 codec, I believe, which is a proprietary Mac Final Cut codec. So literally for us Windows or Linux users to edit this footage, we had to demux the streams, which is basically split them apart, the audio and video.
Yeah.
And we had to do it in such a way that we didn't re-encode and lose quality. And I can tell you that added about 2 weeks of work time.
Yeah, and Trent Reznor is an Apple person, right? He's a yes. I think he has sponsorships from Mac, and I've heard him make disparaging remarks about PCs. Hasn't he?
I haven't heard that, but I wouldn't doubt it because, you know, on stage live, he uses MainStage, which is an amazing program. And
I've also heard him say that guns should be outlawed.
Yeah, don't tell me this, please.
You've never heard that?
I don't want to know. I don't want
to
know.
Well, you know, Bill Buford said it really well. He said, if I only listen to music by people whose politics I agreed with, I'd only own about 2 CDs.
Yeah, exactly.
And I say the same thing, except they'd be 2 CDs by me, probably.
Yeah, I try to stay away from that, especially from my favorite artists, you know, because, yeah, I don't want to hear that they don't like guns. If they don't, that's
cool. Did you hear about Roger Waters' controversy?
Which one?
The one this week.
No.
I like Pink Floyd even more now.
I'm a big Floyd.
Yeah. Man. Roger Waters said that he compared Israel to the Nazis and said that Israel treats Palestinians like subhumans.
Oh, he's been preaching the Palestinian cause
forever,
for years.
Forever,
yeah.
But he's never come out and said they're like Hitler, which is really just a jaw dropping thing to say. And you know, and then like mainstream newspapers all over the world were like, and he's trying to say he's not anti-Jew, and it's like, you don't have to be anti-Jew. You know, I
if you sympathize with the cause of the Palestinians, that doesn't make you anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic. I mean, Palestinians are Semitic people. That's a whole other discussion that I could go on to for hours, but we won't.
Yeah.
But yeah, man. I mean, good for him. At least he's standing up for what he believes and he's not being horrible about
it. He's also 70 and, you know, almost richer than God, so he can do whatever he wants. If the record companies drop him, he can they probably will, you know. I mean, they're all, it's not untrue to say, in my personal experience as an artist who was on Warner Brothers, most people in decision-making capacity at major labels are Jewish.
Yeah, it is true.
And it's like saying that gets you in trouble. It's true, you know, it's like saying there's a lot of Native Americans in Wyoming.
Yeah.
it's fact.
Well, we can't bring that up because, you know. We get labeled racists and all that silly nonsense. I actually, when we first started our original podcast, we used to talk a lot about that sort of thing. And we had a few groups come after us. They were not happy. And you know me, man. I'm a live and let live guy. I'm not racist, sexist, you know, any of that stuff. I don't care.
You know what's interesting? It's interesting that if you criticize Israel, you have to follow it with a barrage of how you're not racist.
I know.
That's how they've set it up. That's how the whole, it's like,
nuts.
It's one of those things you just can't talk about. And it's like, talking about Israel to me has nothing to do with talking about Jewish people. It's talking about Norway or America. It's a state. I hate all states. And that is, the reason I hate that state more than most states is because it has so much influence on American military policy. Like basically, if you join the U.S. Army, you're fighting for Israel.
Yeah, well, there's many memes floating around. And, you know, Israel tries to relate its identity to the Jewish religion, the faith, and the people, and it's farthest.
There are Muslims in Israel.
Yeah, and Israel's very inception and creation was a political one.
They took a bulldozer and, you know, moved all the Palestinians out and killed a bunch of them and said, this is your promised land. Come from Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was with the Zionist Congress that actually was negotiating with Hitler. I don't understand that. You know, they knew how horrible this man was. And
well,
they were,
Hitler wanted to get them out of Europe.
Yeah. It's crazy. But yeah, you know, criticize Israel all you want in my book. They're just another state. I'm totally with you on that page. And I don't like any states.
Let's talk about Pink Floyd.
Pink Floyd is awesome. Yeah, they're one of my favorite bands. I have many, many fond memories as a teenager with my big headphones on, laying in my bed, listening to Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd and Black Sabbath were the two biggest. Grateful Dead to a lesser extent. My first concert was actually the Grateful Dead at Highgate, Vermont. 40,000 people bought tickets and 100,000 people showed up. And wow. I'll never forget, we got there for the end of Bob Dylan's set, which I was not impressed with. I'm not a big Dylan fan to begin with, but yeah. And there was a break, and we sat down and kind of did our thing, and Grateful Dead came out and started playing Touch of Grey. And I turned around and looked, and the fence that was, you know, separating the airfield venue from the crowd, as soon as Touch of Grey came on, the fence just fell and this swarm of hippies just came pouring in. And a lot of the people that did that actually had bought tickets. They were just processing and letting people through the gates so slowly.
Yeah, man. Deadheads are we're an adamant bunch. I have an interesting Grateful Dead story about a gate crasher that is almost as dramatic as that, but it involves one person, not thousands.
Yep.
Grateful Dead, New Year's Eve, Kaiser Stadium, probably 1983, 1984, something like that. Went with my girlfriend at midnight, right, like minute before midnight. I saw this. I heard this crash. We were out in the hallway, which is a big circular auditorium, and there's a circular hallway around it, enclosed inside. And we were just kind of chilling out in the hallway. You know, they had speakers out there. It piped the music out. You'd hear it really well. And we were walking around, looking at people, kind of smiling, kind of being in love. And we saw this out of the corner of our eyes. We heard this crash. And out of the corner of our eyes, we saw this bloody tie-dye run by us. And it was basically like a guy who was outside and just couldn't stand to not be in the Dead show at midnight on New Year's Eve. And somebody told us what he'd done is he'd run through a plate glass window putting his elbows in front of him to break the glass. And he got in and did not get caught, but he must have been in sad shape, man.
Yeah. Speaking of Pink Floyd, have you ever heard the, it's not an official album. It's called The Man and the Journey. It was recorded in Amsterdam in 1969 for a live radio show. And the music is all what later evolved to go on their first few albums. A lot of them have different titles, and it's very trippy, very psychedelic.
Very jammy, probably.
Yes.
Because the first record, they kind of wrote it on stage.
Yeah, I was not a big fan of Piper at the Gates of Dawn.
I am. There's a lot of cool, funny little pop songs on there, too.
Yeah, that's why.
The Sid Barrett ones. The 3-minute Sid Barrett songs, like Pike and Corporal Klieg.
Well, have you heard Sid Barrett's first solo album?
Yeah, first and second. I listened to them nonstop for about 4 years, at least once a day, when I was between, you know, 15 and 19.
Yep. Yeah, I really liked his solo stuff.
Yeah, it had a real... we'll talk about that when we get back, about how that was recorded. I know a little bit about that.
Cool.
Final segment coming up on Michael Dean After Dark.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Michael Dean After Dark.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
If the hamster in your brain is making the madcap laugh, you must be listening to Michael Dean After Dark. So I was talking with Chandler about the Sid Barrett records, Barrett and the Madcap Laughs, his two solo records before he completely disintegrated. So basically the story as they tell it is that he became really unstable from drugs and would just stand on the stage banging his guitar strings without even fingering them. And they wanted to get him out, but they wanted to keep him as a songwriter. So they brought David Gilmour in. They were going to kind of do a Brian Johnson and Brian... who's the guy from the Beach Boys? Brian...
You're asking the wrong person.
Okay, they were going to like keep him out as an in-the-studio songwriter, but he was too unstable for that even, and they liked David Gilmour, and Roger Waters was starting to write more songs. So they basically kicked him out of the band. And he did a solo record, or two, actually, and a couple of the guys on Pink Floyd and a couple other guys are the backing band on it. And from what I heard, he was too messed up on drugs to play the same song twice ever. So what he did was he played some of the songs, he just played guitar and sang, and then the band came in and played to the tape. And then some of them were done the other way around, where he would write the song, make a demo of it, the band would record it, and then he'd go in and play guitar to it and sing. And that record has a really rough feel, but the musicianship and the songwriting's great. Yeah. So that's why that record sounds and feels that way. And there's a lot of false takes, and there's things where, like, really weird things where, like, you know, it's in 4/4, it's like standard song structure, but he'll go on, instead of going on a chord change 8 times, he'll go on it 9 times and then go to the next one.
And it really throws you.
It really does. And I don't know if it was intentional or not. You know,
I don't think it was. I mean, when you're talking about a person who has schizophrenia and does a lot of acid.
Yeah.
You're going to see that sort of thing.
Yeah, but the cover of that record, it's basically him with long hair looking really sexy in an empty, completely empty room with like hardwood floors and, you know, like just bare walls and this naked woman kind of doing this weird ballet move in the back. And I was like, when I grow up, that's going to be me in my room. And, you know, of course, I didn't realize yet then the value of sound conditioning. So the room that I have my naked woman doing yoga in for me is not empty, and it does have rugs all over the walls. But it's pretty much the same room, and, you know, the only thing difference is the hair, and I'm not on drugs.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got some redemption in the third act for us?
Well, absolutely. So we were talking at the beginning of the show how, both with your show and kind of where I've been at lately, we're straying from the tyranny, and that's for a number of reasons. But I got to tell you, mainly the biggest reason is you tend to become what you talk about and what you preach. I spent many years actively on the internet through podcasting and Facebook and Twitter and blogging and all that, just hammering away the tyranny. Oh my God, it's the end of the world, you know? And I noticed something. I'm a lot happier now than I was then. And it's not just because I don't talk about it 24/7. There's, you know, I've made a lot of life changes. But I think what has enabled me to make some of those life changes is kind of laying off that stuff a bit, you know?
Yeah, and it's not, I'm not burying my head in the sand, and I'm very aware of the state and of the tyranny, you know, and I don't leave the, I don't, when I see a cop, I don't feel happy about it. And when I pay a tax, I don't feel happy about it. And when I leave the house, I bring a gun because there's bad people out there in the world. So, but I'm basically covered, and it's kind of like I don't want to live in condition orange or condition black or condition red. It's, I want to live in condition yellow. And you know, it's not like you know. This is, put it this way. I was already doing a show, and I'm already doing a show on the weekends that occasionally discusses tyranny. There are probably 80 podcasts and 5 or 6 radio shows, or, you know, 20 radio shows out there that talk about the tyranny of the state all the time. Even if you're including the small government ones, you know, there's 50 of them, and they're on it's all talk radio is, really, is complaining about Obama. So,
yeah.
And basically, I started a new show, so this show wouldn't exist otherwise, so I can make it not tyranny.
Right. Don't make that stuff your life, man. Yeah. Balance. It's all about balance.
Thanks, Chandler.
Worms.
You'll be back a week from tonight, and hopefully every Tuesday night on Michael Dean After Dark.
This has been Michael Dean After Dark. I hope we've helped calm the hamster in your brain and left you in a better place than where we found you. We'll be here 5 nights a week, same time and channel. In the meantime, go to michaelwdean.com for more. That's michaelwdean.com. Thank you and have a wonderful evening. Good night.